on the mound. There is a desperate need for passages like these to be expounded. And when you look at Matthew 5, you find that Jesus is being pressured by the crowd. There's a desperate need for church leaders to be taught. Preachers need to be taught. Elders and deacons and Bible school teachers. And every member of the church needs to be taught. There is a very interesting, or this is a very interesting passage. This is Jesus' purpose of Matthew 5. He had been teaching and preaching the gospel and the kingdom and was healing all manner of sickness and disease in all of Galilee. The word got out in Syria, and they brought unto him all the sick, those who were diseased, and those who were possessed with devils, and those who had, who were lunatic, or some say who were epileptic, those who were paralyzed, and the Bible says, and he healed them. If you need a subject today, it needs to be, we are taught to teach. We are taught to teach. Multitudes followed him from Galilee, Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and from Jordan. Seeing the multitude, Jesus took the disciples to the mountain. Seeing the multitude, Jesus was moved with compassion. Jesus, seeing the multitude, was overwhelmed with the desperate need. Seeing the multitude, he knew he had to reach them. Seeing the multitude, he knew he had to prepare his disciples for ministry. Seeing the multitude, he was compelled to train men for difficult days ahead. And teaching people, and leading people, and helping them understand who he is. He taught them the Beatitudes, starting with verse 3. And I don't have time to deal with all of these, but the first one he says is, blessed are the poor in spirit. And we all ought to have a poor spirit. We ought to be helpless standing before God. We ought to know that we're empty standing before God. We ought to all know that we need God. We can't make it without him. And I don't have time to deal with all of those, but he started off with that one. And this is Jesus' spiritual architect for true discipleship. This is Jesus' spiritual medicine for the sick souls in that day and even in our day right now. The Beatitudes covers the glorious hope and the reward for the Christian. Christ was there, and Jesus was training and teaching his disciples. What's in this spiritual buffet that Jesus wants us to dine on? First, can I tell y'all, we must have compassion for the multitude. The Bible says Jesus, seeing the multitude, he went up into the mountain to train and to teach his disciples to be compassionate towards those who are sick. Keep your eyes upon the Lord. Keep your focus on the Lord. And God wants you to keep your focus on the needs of people. Jesus was compassionate towards the people. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 9 in verse number 36, but when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion. We gotta have the same kind of compassion. Not only do we need compassion, but we ought to have passion for what we are doing. I don't know, I may not come back to Greenville Avenue anymore, so I may as well tell you now. You ought to be ashamed of yourself when God has blessed you with everything that you have and folk got to beg you to do for the Lord. God has been so good to you. Everybody want to get paid these days. Amen. And I don't mean any harm here, but everybody want to get paid. You ought to have a passion for the work of the Lord. You ought to have a zeal and a desire to get up every Sunday morning. Be the first thing out here to say, Lord, I'm yours. Use me to your honor and your glory. Monday morning ought to be a good day for you. Tuesday ought to be a good day for you. Wednesday ought to be a wonderful day for you. Thursday ought to be a terrific day for you. Friday ought to be a fabulous day for you. Saturday ought to be a satisfying day for you. And Sunday, I'm coming to praise the Lord. We all ought to be glad to pour out our spirit and let God use us. And then secondly, I got to move. Secondly, we got to understand, we cannot accomplish this task alone. We cannot accomplish this task alone. We need men to accomplish this task. Others must be taught to help in this great ministry, in this commission that Jesus gives us. We are not alone, and we cannot do this job alone. Every business has partners that help them to grow within itself. We need help when it comes down to when we look at the multitude. Brother Gibb cannot convert everybody in Dallas. You can't convert everybody in Dallas. You need some help with converting people into Christ. Well, there are five players on the basketball team out there on the court, but then there are some supporters that's sitting on the bench. Amen, somebody. Well, amen. Don't you know that there are 11 football players on the field at one time? And then you need some on the sideline to help when somebody out there who get y'all ain't looking right. Let me just tell you, there are players and that everybody needs help. All of us need help. Remember, and I'm gonna need some help here. Some of y'all remember this. Matt Dillon had some help. He had Festus and Kitty and Doc. The Cartwright, the Ben Cartwright had help. He had Horace and Adam and Little Joe. Lone Ranger had. Tonti, come on, help me out now. Starsky had Hutch. Fred had Lamont. Grady. Bubba and Skillet. George had his Wheezy. Amen, somebody. James had Florida. JJ, Thelma and Michael. And Bookman when he was around. Amen. Matt, some of these young folk ought to know this one. Master Splinter, amen, had Michelangelo. Donatello, I'm waiting on y'all. Leonardo. And Raphael, everybody needs some help. Yogi had Boo Boo. Fred Flintstone had Wilma, Barney and Betty. Everybody needs some help. I'm not saying that women should be preachers and elders and deacons, but what I am saying is that they can help for the cause. We all need help. And then thirdly, let me tell you this. I got to get out of here. Thirdly, let me tell you this. The preaching of the word is not just to those in the mountain. Jesus just didn't take them up here in this mountain for them to get all of this information and not bring it back to the multitude. And a lot of us, we are very smart and intelligent in the church, and we sitting around with our thumbs, twiddling our thumb, thinking that somebody owe us something. Can I tell you something? God doesn't look for you to come here and act like you got it all together. We ought to be glad to do for the Lord. You're not a spectator in the Lord's church. Amen. Somebody went up to the mountain. Not only is it to those in the mountain, but it's to those on the seaside. It's to those who are in homes. It's to those in the streets and in prisons and hospitals. It's to those in the White House and those in the outhouse. It's for those in the streets. It's for every state. It's for every city, every country, every town. It's for everybody. And we ought to be glad to give it to everybody, because this is God's way of helping us to become better for his kingdom. We must carry the word little by little. We can accomplish the mission of spreading the gospel if we understand Jesus' method. And I wish I had time to tell you that Jesus had compassion on this multitude. If we send the word out to the world, I guarantee you somebody will come asking, what must I do to be saved? We've got to learn that Jesus sent 12 out. And Jesus, when he sent them out in Matthew chapter 28 and verses number 18, he said, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. Paul puts it this way in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verses number 2, he says, and the thing that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. We got to learn how to teach one, so that we can help the church to grow and mature. And then let me tell you this. We must continue to train. Three things are needed for training and preparation. One, you need a place to train. You need a message to take, and then you need to execute that plan. We should want to be taught and trained in the Lord. We want everything and everybody else in our lives to be trained. We want our doctors to be trained. We want our lawyers to be trained. We want our mechanics to be trained. We want our plumbers, amen, somebody. I remember I had a plumber to come in my house one day, and I asked him, I said, man, why are you charging so much? He said, you're not paying me for what I'm doing. You're paying me for what I know. Amen. So we got to know that when you have people trained, you have a good thing going there. Christian leaders ought to know that we got to be trained. Jesus says it this way in John chapter 6 and verse 45. He says, it is written in the prophet that they all shall be taught of God. Every man that has heard and learned of the Father cometh unto me. We must learn that we got to be trained in the Lord's church. It's not just a fly-by-night deal. That's why Paul says to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse, y'all like the Bible, don't you? 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verses number 15, the Bible says, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scripture, which is able to make thee wise unto salvation. All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, a mature, complete, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. We ought to have people trained in the body of Christ as well. Then let me just tell you this because I got to get out of here. Amen, somebody. Christians, we ought to be glad to come together and try to encourage one another to learn more about God's will. And if we can't learn about God's will, we ought to get somewhere and sit down. Because if we can talk about other things, we ought to be able to talk about the God that we serve. Christian leaders are called together, men and women, for special training and preparation. Matthew said Jesus had 12. Then Jesus had 3 that he loved, Peter, James, and John. But let me tell you, Mark and Luke says that Jesus called them together. And then Mark and Luke says Jesus called them together. But the point is, they were willing to learn, and Jesus was ready to teach them. We are blessed when we are taught the word of God. We are truly blessed when we are taught the word of God. We are blessed. We are truly blessed. And the word blessed comes from the word, which is a spiritual word. It's a word which means we have spiritual joy and satisfaction that's enduring. It's lasting regardless of our condition. It will carry us through the pain and the sorrow of life. It doesn't matter about the sadness and the losses and the disappointment that we have in this life, because if we got God's word, we ought to have joy.
That's why Paul says in Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. We can rejoice because we know God and his word. Man seeks to be blessed by material things. Man seeks to be blessed by his own strength and own might. But man is deceived. Man doesn't know. Man is blind to what his real need is. Man is ignorant about the church of Christ. Man is ignorant and he thinks he can live forever. We must continue to tell the world and to tell people that Jesus' word is the only thing that will carry us through this world. That's why Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6 and verses number 19, he says, lay not up for yourself treasures upon the earth where moth and rust do corrupt, where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourself treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust do corrupt, or where thieves do not break through and steal. He said, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You better learn that I got to learn to stay with the word of God. The Bible says in 1 John 2, 2, 2:15, Jesus said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, he said, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but of the world. Can I get out of here and tell you that I'm glad that my mind is just not on worldly things. I'm not saying you ought not enjoy life and enjoy the blessing that God has given to you, but I got to tell you something. Paul puts it this way. He says in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verses number 6, he said, godliness with contentment is great gain. He said, for we brought nothing in this world, and it is certain that we will carry nothing out. I tell folk everywhere I go, my father runs a funeral home, and I've never seen a U-Haul behind that hearse. Why? Because every time somebody leaves here, amen, somebody, and I don't mean any harm, and I ain't trying to start nothing with nobody, but guess what, y'all? When you die, we're going to roll you down here. We're going to go over yonder, eat some green beans and chicken, and then we're going to go back to the fellowship hall for a little while and argue about how good, amen, because some folk, when you're living, they lie on you, and when you're dead, they lie for you. But when you get out of here, can I tell you something? Can I tell you something? You ain't taking nothing with you. So you better learn how to know that I'm going to stay with the Lord, because God will take me from earth to glory. Let me get out of here. Let me get out of here. The Bible says it is appointed unto men once to die. But after this come the judgment. Y'all heard the story before, don't you? Have it. You heard the story before about the man. You know, he used to beat up on his wife all the time. And he told her, he said, now, girl, I want you to put every dollar I earn in the casket with me. Every penny, I want you to put it in there with me. After a while, sooner or later, he did die. And she was crying, sitting right in here. She walked up to the casket. And she laid a little briefcase on the inside of the casket. And then they closed the casket down. And her girlfriend came around saying, girl, you put all that money in there. She said, I wrote him a check. Amen. Amen, somebody. Understand, y'all, ain't nobody taking nothing with me. You better learn how to know that God has everything you need, and he'll take you from earth to glory. Amen. If you just stay with him. If you stay with him, God will take you through the ups and the downs of life. Now, I got to tell you, I wish I had time to explain it to you, but don't you know sin and death is trying to get you?
All right.
Well, I wish I had time to explain. Let me just go do this little part. Let me just do this little part. Sin and death is trying to get you.
All right. Come on.
Sin is trying to get you every day.
All right.
And you know death, oh man, death is coming at you.
All right,
and he's going to get you one of these days. But I'm glad I got God by my side.
Yes.
I'm glad God is by my side. Because every day I fall short of God's glory. The Bible says, for all have sinned,
yes,
and fallen short of the glory of God. Amen. Romans 3. Y'all know the Bible, don't you?
Right.
And don't you know that old death is coming to get all of us? Because it is appointed unto men once to die. But after death come the judgment. Boy, I wish I feel I'm feeling pretty good here. And so you got to understand something. Old sin and old death is coming after you. But guess what? He tried to come after my Savior one day.
All right,
old sin tried to come after my Savior one day. And remember, Jesus was in Matthew chapter 4. You remember the story? Amen. And Jesus was tempted out in the wilderness. He was out there for 40 days. And don't you know that Jesus, the devil came to him and said, if you be the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. Jesus turned to him and said, man does not live by bread alone. They old devil, old sin is trying to get him. And I hear Peter saying, there was no sin in him, neither was that guile found in his mouth. So sin couldn't get him. So after a while, you remember the story when they went to Calvary and they got him out there on Calvary, and oh death, amen, he was out there on the cross. And when he died, he gave up the ghost. And old sin, can't you see old sin and old death looking at each other? Old sin turning around saying, we got him, death. Can't you see him? Old death saying, oh, you know I could get him. I can get everybody. Ain't nobody getting by me. Old death had his chest poked out, and old death thought he had the Lord. Old sin thought he had the Lord. Oh, I done messed you up.
You all right?
Okay. You messed up my good role, man. Old sin come after Jesus. Old death come after Jesus. And remember when he was down in the grave? Remember he was down in the grave. Can't you see old sin and death kind of talking to each other? Old sin looking over at death. Said, death, we got him, don't we? Old death saying, yeah, man, you know we got him. He ain't going nowhere. Is he still down in there? About Friday night, he was still down in there. About Saturday, he was still down in there. Old death looked at him and said, man, I got this. Don't you worry about it. Don't you worry about a thing. Y'all know where I'm going. But then early Sunday morning, sin and death come strolling down Calvary out there, Golgotha's hill. Old sin looked at death and said, I know you got him in there. Old death starts shaking his head. Old death starts, this is me now, amen. Old death starts wiping his eyes. Old death starts dropping his head. Old death said, I don't know where he is. He's not here. Angels looked up at him and said, he ain't here. He's risen. Can I tell y'all, sin and death is after you, but if you got Jesus, you can even defeat sin and death. Woo! I got to get out of here now. I got to quit now. Little sign has got me. I got to get out of here. But I thank y'all so very much.
Hey, man, if we don't see you no more on this side of life, we'll see you over on the other shore. Hey, man, if you're not a Christian tonight, I don't know what you're waiting on, because you got to defeat sin. You got to defeat death. And the only one that can defeat sin and death is Jesus the Christ. Amen, somebody. And that's why I'm going to stay with Christ. And I'm going to stay in the church of Christ. You can leave if you want to. That's just more room for me. Amen. And I tell folk all the time, don't you leave the church. You stay in the church. Folk who trying to get you to leave anyhow, amen, they just jealous of you. Sister girl, amen. Sister girl, you know you got it going on. You keep on coming to church. Brother man, you got it going on. You keep on coming. Y'all ain't looking right. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? Sister girl, got it going on. I know some of y'all can talk about each other. Hey, man, we can talk about each other. Look at her. She thinks she's something. She's this and that and the other thing. Girl, you ought to walk down in here like you never walked before.
You hear what I'm saying? Because at some point, all of that stuff that you used to have, if you know what I'm talking about, bro, man, you know what I'm talking about. You just look like the rock. Got all of these biceps and tricep stuff just poking out on your arms and legs. You just a muscular guy, amen. But then old man age start catching up with you, and you know what I'm talking about, old man age. Old man age start making you tilt over a little bit, amen. Remember, you used to have a six pack. Now you got a 2-liter. You know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about. You used to walk around with your chest all stuck out. Now you got to walk like this. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? He's coming after you. He's coming after all of us. You got to remember who you staying with. I stay with Jesus, y'all.
Amen.
You better remember, Christ is the one. He saw the multitude. Had compassion on them. And the church need to have compassion on people. Amen. Remember what John says? He that seeth his brother the need and sheddeth up his vows of compassion.
Yes.
Says, how dwelleth the love of God in him?
All right.
1 John 3:17. But let me just tell you this again. If you're not a member of the church of Christ,
What are you waiting on? Amen. You need to get into Christ and stay in Christ. When you're in Christ, you ain't got to worry about nobody else but you and God. And try to encourage everybody else to know that I'm going to stay in Christ. Folk going to leave. Folk going to talk about you.
Amen.
But you got to stay in Christ, y'all. Don't you go nowhere. Brother Gill preaching these powerful sermons every Sunday, and you got the audacity to start rattling your keys and talking about it's time to go.
Amen.
You wasn't saying that when you were having fun.
Amen.
Wherever you were. Learn how to appreciate the word of God.
Amen.
Because it's able to build you up. And give you inheritance among those that are sanctified.
Yes, sir.
Come on to Christ by faith, repentance, confession, and baptism into Christ. You're into Christ and you straight away, you come back to Christ. Because it is the Lord's church.
Yes, sir.
And can't nobody stop you from coming to Christ.
All right.
We don't have to call you down here. We ain't going to roll no all over your head and kind of smack you all up. And none, we don't do none of that. But we call you here to tell you about the loving Savior that we have.
Amen.
If you're here tonight and you feel subject to the Savior's invitation, will you come as together we stand to sing this song?
Oh, do not let the world depart and close thine eyes against the light. Poor sinner, harden not your heart and be saved.